Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm the campus pastor here at Revive South Creek Campus. It's good to be here, and we would love to know that you're here, so you could let us know that a few different ways. You can always text Revive to 94,000, and we will respond to you sometime within the next few days as well, to get acquainted with you, especially if you're a first-time visitor with us. You can also fill out the first-time visitor card in the seat back in front of you. If you have prayer requests, you can put those on those cards as well and place those in the giving box on the way out after service. We would love to come alongside with you and pray for you or celebrate with you if God has been doing some things in your life. And if you just want some information about the church, you can ask about that on those cards as well. We do have a few things coming up that we want to make you aware of that we're super excited about. The first is this coming Friday night, March 11th, at the McKinley campus. We're going to do a family Olympic game night. We'll provide some games. It'll be sort of a fun family and team competition with all ages appropriate. So we would love for you to come out for that again at the McKinley campus this Friday night, 6:30 to 8. And then at the end of this month, March 27th, we're going to do something as a church family again. We haven't kind of gotten together for anything in a while, and we want to kind of get everybody back together. And sort of since we're coming out of COVID, and it would just be a great time to do this. So I don't know about you, but when I go to a restaurant, oftentimes I will just order appetizers as my meal. So I don't know, maybe that fits into you as well. But if that is you, you'll get a kick out of this event we're going to do. So we're going to do an appetizer showdown March 27th after service from 12 to 1:30. So if you have an appetizer that you are just super excited about, you can bring that to the community building after service, and we will have sort of a taste test competition scenario. We'll provide some games as well, some prizes. It'll be a great time, but that will be March 27th right after service. Right after the second service from 12 to 1:30. And starting next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet over there so we sort of know what to expect for people to bring. But we would love to have you be at that. It'll be a great time to get together and kind of communicate outside of just a service. So we'd love for that to happen. And then lastly, we do always have three different ways that you can give, that you can give your offering, your tithe. You can do that online. You can do that by sending a check into the church, or you can drop your offering in the giving box on the way out after service. But as always, we want that to be an act of worship, a response to God's faithfulness and goodness in your life as you give back to him what is already essentially his. And so at this time, I'm going to pray for our service. I'm going to pray for our offering whenever and however you give that as we continue this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God that is in control in the middle of all circumstances. And we ask that you be with us this morning in a powerful way as we continue our series, as we talk about miracles and what all that means for us and how it all points to who you are. And so, Lord, I ask that you guide and direct our time together, that you be with us whenever and however we give our tithes and our offerings. Let us not feel weighted down or obligated to do that, but allow it to be just an act of worship as we continue in worship this morning through singing, through hearing your word, through prayer, and just for being together in your place. Thanks for your presence being here. We acknowledge that, and we ask that we see that and experience that as we continue this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together as we continue by singing.
He's a great and awesome God.
Darkness, nothing can stop.
Describes God as the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. And the miracle of Jesus' resurrection gives us life and gives us power over every circumstance. We stand before a God who does the impossible. Nothing can hold him back. His power is limitless. His love is greater than anything.
Is my beginning. The line drawn in the sand. The end of all my striving. Now I am born again. That Jesus was forsaken. So I will never be. His grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done, it is finished. Christ has won. Has triumphed over death forever. The cross needs no additions. His mercy is complete. Oh, his love. is not in question. The Son of God has spoken over me. It is done. It is finished. Christ has won.
Working God that he is. Even when our hearts break, even when it's hard, he's a God of miracles. And his cross is maybe the biggest one. Jesus.
The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place. is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through our veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God.
Thank you that you are a God of miracles. Lord, in the times that it is hard for us to believe, I pray that you would help our unbelief. Help us to remember the cross. There is nothing more that we need than what you did for us on the cross. You sealed our eternity. That is why we're victorious. Help us to keep our minds set on that, Lord. Hold our hearts in the palm of your hand this morning. We thank you and praise you for what you'll do today. And we give this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This is going to be a good morning. It's already a good morning. I hope you're happy to be here and excited to see what God's going to do. So we're going to continue our morning with child dedications. This is something we are super excited about doing. Interestingly enough, the last time we had this scheduled was the weekend, if you remember, where we lost power and we had to close. So we didn't get to do it last time, so we're excited to do it today, this morning, and it's a special day in our church for that. And we're celebrating God's working in people's lives, in children's lives, and in the lives of the families of our church. And so we're celebrating today with parents who want to dedicate their children to the Lord. And so at this point, I'm going to ask them to come forward, the Susano family, if you would want to come up here. We're going to do this. And as they're coming up, I want to acknowledge the fact that child dedication is really a way that we as a church body have an opportunity to affirm and support the parents as they seek to raise their children to follow Jesus Christ. You see, child dedication is really more of a parent dedication, and it's a commitment of both the parents and the church to be able to sort of say, hey, we're going to be with you. We're going to be praying for you. And so, you're good, man. You're good, dude. You got it.
The only time he's ever been shy.
That's good. Here, give me a little fist bump. Oh, as I knocked the microphone over. No shyness anymore, huh?
I told you.
It's back. He's back loud and proud, so that's awesome. So anyway, we're going to dedicate this child this morning. And so these parents have committed with God's help to the following. They acknowledge that their child is a gift from God and commit to loving their child unconditionally. They desire for their child to love God by following Jesus and understand that they, as parents, are and will be the primary influence and example for their children. And they, as parents, will partner with God's family, the church, you and I, and commit to regular involvement in the community life of the church. And we know that children are important to Jesus. He has called us into his presence to be entering into his presence as children. And we see an incredible acknowledgement of this in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Let me read this at this moment. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. So we are going to do just that right now. So Lucas and Jessica, who are you bringing to be dedicated today?
Adriel Xavier.
All right. Well, here, let me see if I can take a little. Well, you are just a tiny little light one. Hey dear. Hey, how's it going? Yeah? You're chilling out, but I better not take advantage of this. So, all right, here we go. So, Adriel Xavier Susano, I dedicate you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of Adriel and pray Psalm 119, 105 over you. Today that you will be wise and shine like the brightness of the stars as he shares your love with everyone who you meet. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I know, you don't even realize it, but you're excited. That's awesome. Here you go. All right. Great job. Are you going to do a stage dive? You are. Awesome. We've got stage divers and fist bumpers. Here we go. Yes. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Congratulations. Well, it is good to be back here. As many of you may know, I've been on vacation for the last couple weeks, so I got to sort of head south and get some sunshine. And I'm not going to lie, it was glorious. We had sunshine every single day. I don't think the weather was bad at all. And we've got a little bit of that today. It might get a little bit windy, but it's warm out and it's nice. So hopefully you're excited about that. And so I'm excited about that, and I'm excited for what God's going to do this morning as we continue our series, Signs. But as we continue, I want to start by asking a question. And I often ask questions as we begin services and we begin messages, but I want to ask you this. Have you ever felt desperate? Have you ever felt like you've been in a situation where there was nothing left that you could do, and you were just in a state of desperation? Many of you may have unique stories that sort of have that. For me, one of the ones that comes to mind when I felt desperate and sort of up against the wall was actually when our family was trying to buy our first home. It was a highly challenging experience, and at the time, I really wasn't making a whole lot of money, and so we could only afford, the bank would only approve us for homes that were really kind of not in good shape. They needed a lot of work, and so we looked into the first-time homebuyers grant in Hamburg, which is great, but you still, they won't give you that money, they won't give you that grant unless the home is up to code and it's like all in good shape, and so we found ourselves in this position where we're like, well, we can't afford that, and it was just a nightmare and a mess, and so for a while, we actually ended up being sort of homeless for a few months, and we were living with my in-laws, which I will say was a great experience. They were fine, but we had Camden, who's running sound back there, was a newborn baby who was colicky and was up every night yelling and screaming and crazy. He's not yelling and screaming back there now, so that's good, but he outgrew it eventually, but it was sort of this nightmare season of our life. We didn't really know what to do. Our hands were against the wall, and we just sort of had to surrender the whole situation to God. Maybe you have similar circumstances. Maybe you have more dynamic circumstances, more significant issues in your life. Maybe you're dealing with a health diagnosis that you don't know what to do, and you feel like you're in a desperate situation. Maybe you're in a marital situation where you feel like desperate to have marriage reconciliation and healing. Maybe you're in a financial crisis. Maybe you're seeking out a spouse, and it's just not happening, and you just feel desperate. Well, what we're going to look at today is this point. Desperation can turn to joy when Jesus is in the equation. We're going to look at that in Scripture. We're going to look at it through some stories. And it's going to be a powerful morning, I think. But the reality is that desperation can turn to joy when Jesus is in the equation. So again, we're in our second series of, our second week of our series, Signs, in which we're our Lenten series in which we're looking at different miracles that Jesus performed and how they point to who he is and the characteristics and what we can find in him. And last week we looked at the changing of the water into wine, and not so much the miracle of turning water into wine, but the joy and the celebration that came along with it. The joy and the celebration that came in this wedding, similar to the celebration there will be when we are one day reunited with Jesus Christ face to face, as he is groom and the church is the bride, coming together, and the joy that will be in that. And so we're going to continue to look at that theme of joy as we continue this morning. And as we do this, we're going to look at our faith specifically and how sometimes our faith can sort of lead us on a journey, and or sometimes can be this linear motion that happens, and one thing happens that leads to the next, that leads to the next. I will say up front, it's not always like that, and we will get to that at the end. So be patient with me if you're thinking, this isn't really always how it works, and it's not working for me. But we're going to look at a passage in Scripture in which that does happen, and it is the way it's working out. And so we're going to learn from that, and then we're going to apply that to our life and see how we can learn from that. So we're going to be in John chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 46 this morning. So let me read that passage as we begin in Scripture. Speaking of Jesus, once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Now he's coming back to this place where we just learned about last week. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. So here we see this royal official. We don't really know if he's Jew or Gentile. We don't know his social or national status, but he is an official. He's a royal official. He most likely has some sort of power or significance, and he's able to probably get things done when he needs things done. But we see him in a point of desperation. We see him in a desperate situation. There's nothing left he can do. His son is going to die. He can't do anything. And so he comes to the point of begging Jesus to come, which would have been actually a 20-mile journey, a day's journey, back to him in Capernaum. And so we see this all take place. This individual who had it probably all together was now faced with a circumstance that he could do nothing about. And so he hears that Jesus is coming into town. He's most likely heard some of what Jesus has already done and how the teachings that Jesus has already said. And he said, surely this man can heal my son. And so he begs him to heal him. And this government official in this moment is displaying our first aspect of faith. He's displaying crisis faith. Crisis faith, this idea or this faith that we sometimes have when all else fails and we cannot do anything. And unfortunately, a lot of us maybe only have this crisis faith. We only turn to God when circumstances are bad. when everything is going well and we sort of take credit for that ourselves, we don't really need to turn to God. We don't need to have any faith because we've been able to figure it out ourselves. But all of a sudden when things turn negative and we don't know what to do, that's when we turn to God. Only then, though, do we turn to God. That's sort of this idea of crisis faith. But is that the way we should stay? Well, of course not. And so as this father is continuing to interact with Jesus, we see his faith shift and we see his faith transform. And so let's see where it continues to go in verses 48 through 50. Jesus responds to him, though. He says, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. With just 7 words in the NIV translation that we're reading this morning, this father who is panicking, who is begging, is calmed. With just 7 words, "You may go, your son will live. And it's crazy because it's like this immediate transition that takes place. It says, scripture says at the end of that, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He had a deep faith and he had a deep belief that if Jesus said it was going to happen, it was going to happen. He didn't really know who Jesus was other than the stories he maybe heard about him from the time. So what was it about his words that had that kind of impact? Well, as I think to similar situations or circumstances in which I felt desperate, even in the buying of our first home, sometimes what gave me the most comfort was talking to somebody who actually knew what they were talking about. Was talking to either the realtor or our lawyer or a financial consultant or whatever the situation was at the time would sort of give me a calmness and sort of give me a peace because I'm like, they would be like, "Look, it's going to be all right. We've been here before. We've done this before. We know what it's like." Maybe for you, it's talking to a professional doctor or somebody who understands what it is you're going through with your health diagnosis and the crisis that maybe you're in right now. Maybe it's talking to a financial planner that can help guide and direct your steps to come out of debt, whatever that looks like, or a marriage counselor to help reconcile your marriage. But it's often when we speak to somebody or talk to somebody who understands the situation we're in better than we do ourselves, it gives us a sense of calmness and it gives us a sense of security and a sense of peace. In addition, also talking to people who have actually been where we're at. Other people who have struggled in marriage but have come out on the other side of it. Other people who have been in debt and now are debt-free or have been able to manage their finances. And so we often, it's testimonies, people's stories, sharing their stories with us. That's encouraging to us. And let me tell you this, Jesus Christ knows you and has been where you've been in more ways than you could ever imagine. God the Father created you in his image. He knows you from the inside out. He knows your innermost thoughts and desires. And so when we hear promises and words from God in Scripture, as we continue to pursue God the Father in our everyday life, we become more and more calm and more at peace in what he has to say for us. And so this official was feeling these things. And so he moves from this crisis faith into a confident faith. Crisis faith into a confident faith. He had confidence that Jesus said what he was going to do was actually going to happen. Do you and I have a confident faith that what we read in Scripture, the promises that we read in Scripture, the circumstances and stories we see in Scripture can still come true today, can still happen for us today? We know that there's power in Jesus' words. We see that he has power to calm raging storms, to cast out demons, to turn water into wine like we looked at last week, to fill fishermen's nets, to give hope to the hopeless. We can have confidence in who he says he is. And this official was experiencing that confidence, so much so that he left without actually having confirmation that his son was in fact healed. He didn't know yet. And so he took Jesus at his words. He says, "Yes, I believe you." Just like we sang, "I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe you're the God of miracles." And he left, and he left, and he walked away. And so, yes, it's one thing to be confident, but it's yet another thing to see your confidence confirmed. And like we said, this individual, this official, had not yet seen it confirmed, but let's continue to see how the story goes in verses 51 and 53. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour." Then the father realized that that was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So this boy was in fact healed at the exact moment that Jesus said he would be healed. And again, we see this confidence in him because this would have been a 20-mile journey. It would have been a days-long journey. This individual would have most likely waited till morning to even leave. Having desperately wanted to see his son, to see if what Jesus said had come true, he most likely waited till morning because it would have been safer to travel during the day rather than over the hours of night. And then the servants leave and they come and they meet each other in the middle. And sure enough, this confident faith that he had was confirmed by his servants. This father was so confident that he was willing to delay going home, even though his heart yearned to see his son. And then when the father and the servants met the next day on the road, their story was confirmed. And this confident faith moved into a confirmed faith. Again, it doesn't always work in this way, but this is the way this story is playing out. And sometimes, oftentimes, it does work like this in our life as well. And so this boy had been completely healed. The healing took place at the exact time Jesus spoke it into being. His confidence was confirmed. His boy was made well. And then we see next that this individual could not contain himself. I mean, of course he couldn't. He goes home. His boy is healed. What he was desperate for, this crisis turned into this confidence, which turned into confirmation, which now turned into him wanting to tell everybody about it. He had a story to tell the world. It was incredible. It was powerful. And Scripture says in John 4:53, as it goes, that he and his whole household believed. He and his whole household believed. One commentary says that previously the man had known enough about Jesus to regard him as a talented wonder worker. He knew just enough about him to know that he was worth going to. But the sign pointed him beyond that. He plainly saw the hand of God in this situation, and his whole attitude was modified accordingly. He became a believer, and the sign transformed his faith into a greater faith. And so we see this movement and this growth of faith that takes place through this miraculous experience. And then in addition to that, this expression, he and his whole household, we continue to see that play out in Acts all over the place. We see he and his whole household were baptized. They and their whole household were saved. He and his whole household believed. And so there was this constantly having to tell one another what was going on, that God was doing things, and word was spreading like fire. And so this father in this moment displays our fourth characteristic of faith. He displays this contagious faith. So he goes from this moment of crisis into this moment of confidence, into a moment of confirmation, and into a moment where he has to tell everybody about it. It becomes contagious, and his whole household are saved. Most likely the servants that told him on the road were saved. The other children, his spouse, whatever, whoever was in that home were saved and believed that Jesus Christ was who he is and who he said he was. And I think that's a powerful story. And as we sort of wrap these four together, I want to ask you this morning, what kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you find yourself having as we discuss these four different aspects of it? And what kind of faith do you want to have? Now, let me kind of overview these aspects of faith one more time and see where you sort of fit into them. And then we're going to bring it all together in a pretty powerful way, I think, at the end, where each and every one of us can apply it to our lives. So first, again, we have this crisis faith. Are you in the moment of crisis faith? Do you only go to Jesus when you are in crisis? Do you only go to him when you need him, when he has something that you want? Or do you go to him on a regular, reoccurring basis? Part of our mission statement here at Revive is to pursue the Father. Do you pursue him on a daily basis? Because as you do that, your faith will grow in powerful and dynamic ways. When your back's against the wall and you've exhausted all other options, do you turn to Jesus only then? Or do you turn to him even when things are going well? As you continue to pursue him, you can move into this confident faith. You can believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that you are who he says you are, that you are a child of God. And if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, that you are covered and redeemed by his blood, that he died on the cross for you and rose again, and you can be confident in that. And that's a faith that I hope that you have. Do you believe that even when all circumstances are crazy and things are not going the way that you would like them to, do you believe in Matthew 11:28-30 that you can find rest in Jesus? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you have this confidence in Jesus? Do you have confidence that you can rest in him in the midst of circumstances? And then this third aspect of confirmed faith. Do you have a story in which God has done some miraculous things in your life? I know there are people in this room who have experienced miracles in all sorts of different ways, who've experienced restoration, who've experienced healing in powerful and dynamic ways. We were just talking about around our preaching team meeting where we were discussing this message, and we talked about an individual at the McKinley campus who experienced a physical healing in the midst of a service in November. He felt as he was diagnosed with cancer, he was going to have to go have surgery. In the middle of service during one of the songs, he felt an audible change in his body. He didn't know what it was, but he went to the doctor a week or so later, and he said, "We don't have to do surgery anymore. Your cancer's gone." He attributes it to the powerful working of the Holy Spirit within him in that moment. God still does miracles in our life. Are you acknowledging the little miracles that are all around you? Because even the fact that you and I are here this morning is a miracle. The fact that we are breathing is a miracle. And so many times we take those little miracles for granted. But they're all around us. And even if things don't turn out the way you prayed or wanted them, do you trust that God is who he says he is and that he knows better than we do? And do you believe that his sovereignty is better than the circumstances we have at hand? Do you have that confirmation in your spirit this morning? And then lastly, do you have a contagious faith? Do people know that you love Jesus wherever you go? Sometimes I feel guilty about this. I'll go to a grocery store or I'll go into the community or neighborhood and I'm like, what am I really doing differently that point people to Jesus? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything bad. But do people see the joy of Jesus within me as I go out? Do you have a confident or do you have a contagious faith this morning? And so back to this sort of linear aspect of faith that we've talked about this morning. Many times in our life, crisis may absolutely lead to confidence, which may lead to confirmation, which then will ideally lead to some sort of contagious faith. But I would like to spin this around a little bit this morning and apply it to each and every one of us. I asked what kind of faith you have, and maybe you have one of these faiths, but what kind of faith do you desire to have? The kind of faith that I desire to have, and I hope you desire to have, is a faith that really reverses all of what we've talked about this morning. The fact that some of the people with the most contagious faith that I have ever met have not just come out of a miracle, have not just come out of a powerful season in life, but most of the time, the people that have had the most contagious faith are in the midst of a crisis. But they still find joy in the middle of it, just like we talked about at the very beginning. This idea that we can have joy, that a desperate situation can turn joyful when Jesus is in the equation. And I have seen that happen with so many families in this church. You see, if we reverse these, this is what the ideal faith looks like, in my opinion. Somebody who is deeply rooted in Jesus, who understands who they are in him, can have a contagious faith because even without the confirmation, they have confidence that God is in control even in the midst of the crisis. You see how we reverse that? Contagious faith is possible because we can have, without any confirmation, we can have confidence that God is in control even in the midst of the crisis. When a child is lost, when a marriage is torn apart, when debt is overwhelming, and when the healing doesn't come, regardless of it, we find joy in Jesus Christ because we know that his sovereignty is more important than our circumstances here on earth. Now, I want to share a story with you this morning that was just made. It just happened this morning. Many of you may know Pete and Sarah Wakelum. They've been coming to our congregation. They usually sit right over there, and she's been struggling with cancer for years. And they have been praying for the miracle that we've been preaching about this morning. They've been praying for the miracle that we sang about this morning. And so I come here this morning and I'm like, well, I get to preach a message on healing and miracles when in fact this morning Sarah passed away. But here's the incredible thing. That family and those surrounded with that family know what loss is like. This is not the first loss they've experienced, but all throughout their losses, all throughout what seemed to be unanswered prayers, they have been contagious in their faith. They have been joyful in their circumstance, and Sarah herself was one of them. She was filled with joy and celebration even at our Thanksgiving service, if you remember that, she shared. She loved Jesus, and she understood that the sacrifice that Jesus made for her was worth being joyful even in the midst of her crisis. So if this family can find joy in the midst of crisis, you and I can find joy in the midst of crisis as well. Because the greatest gift you and I have is that of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we read about this story of this resurrected boy, or this not resurrected, but this healed boy. We see stories of resurrection in Scripture. But Jesus' resurrection is the only one that actually impacts you and I today for our eternity if we acknowledge that he is our Savior. Sarah acknowledged Jesus as her Savior and is now with him, fully healed, happy, joyful, and even leading to the moments of her death, she was filled with confidence and joy, even without this earthly miracle she was praying for ever being confirmed. We can do this. You can do this regardless of what circumstance you are in. Our God is a God of miracles. And maybe the miracle isn't the healing that you're praying for. Maybe the miracle isn't the situation that you're asking to be delivered from. But maybe the miracle is the fact that people around you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ because they see how you interact and how you handle life when it gets incredibly difficult. There's power in Jesus. There's power in his words. But even in the midst of crisis, we can find joy. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you died for us and that you rose again, defeating death. So yeah, we'll have to experience it here on earth at some point, but we do not have to experience it into eternity. Heavenly Father, I pray for Wakelam family. I pray for all that is going through that, their hearts and their minds right now. I pray that you would offer them comfort and peace as they mourn, but allow them to experience joy and celebration as Sarah is now face to face with you. And allow other people to learn from that, to be impacted by that, to the faith and the joy that they exude would be contagious to those around them in powerful and dynamic ways. If there are people in this room that think that they're never gonna get what they want, they're never gonna get the miracle that they're seeking, they're never gonna get what they're praying for, allow them to dig down deep and to find that joy that is only available in you as they acknowledge you as their Savior. So Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you're with us even through the struggle. You're with us even in the crisis. And because of that, and because of what you've done for us, we can find joy even in life when things are challenging. Allow us to have a contagious faith, even without confirmation, because of our confidence in who you are, especially when life is challenging, especially in the crisis. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand as we continue to sing about the God of revival.
Seen what you can do, O God of wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no prison. mountain, you can move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival, you rose in victory. Now you're seated forever on the throne. So why should my heart fear what you defeated? I will trust in you alone. There's no prison wall you can't break through. No mountain you can move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise. No soul that you can't save. All things are possible. For the darkest night, you can light it up.
Light a fire in our faith that is so contagious, that is unmistakable of whose we are.
Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people, come awaken the city. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival.
Chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
We serve a God who is in the business of revival. And I hope that's the story of your life, regardless if it's a miracle that seems to be answered or if it's a struggle or a crisis you're going through. He is there for you, and you can find joy in the midst of that because he's there with you. And allow other people to see as you shine in the midst of whatever season of life you're in powerful and dynamic ways. Maybe this morning you would like prayer for something going on in your life, for a miracle that you are praying for, a miracle you're craving to have happen, or maybe just a change of perspective on life circumstance. We would love to pray along with you. As I already said, you can write down your prayer requests in the cards that are in the back. But we also can pray with you this morning. You can either come up front, or Eileen is in the back and would love to pray with you as well. But we would love to come alongside with you and pray to the God of the universe, the God of revival, and be there with you as he is there with you. And in addition to that, we have another prayer initiative that we're starting up this week, and we're going to be doing it for a while here as we continue through the Lent season. Obviously, you're aware of the Russia-Ukraine interaction going on right now. In the back room over there on those three high-top tables, there are a variety of six different prayer points that you can grab. You can hang out and pray there now. You can grab those and take those home. But you can take those slips of paper home. There's prayer points with scriptures on them that can help assist you in praying through the crisis that's taking place over there right now. So take those with you as you go from here this morning. Spend some time standing there now, whatever it is, but approach God this morning on behalf of what's going on over there. But either way, God is here with you this morning. He's here in this place now, and he wants to meet you. Hopefully he has, but if you're seeking to spend some more time with him, head back there. Eileen will be with you. Grab some of those things, and we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you.